Evening, one and all. Tonight, we are starting with Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet, beginning with the words of Hagia Tor, Na'ara V'Na'ara, Lavo. Okay? So, a little bit of a review, very, very quickly. This is basically the beauty contest, followed by it's time to meet the king in a person-to-person way, okay? And that's what we're up to right now, okay? So we had a variety of possibilities, possible contestants from all over the lands, and then now he's going to do a trial situation to see who he really appreciates most. Undoubtedly based upon ability to discuss current events and philosophy. Okay. Good giggle. I was hoping someone would.
I guess it okay. Reminds me of the show The Bachelor that I never watched.
Apparently it was. Okay, now here we go. So, Bahagia Tor Na'ara V'Na'ara, and in each turn for each of the young maidens would come up, lavo, they would arrive, okay, and they would lavo el hamelech Achashverosh, and they would come to the king Achashverosh, miketz heyot la, okay, kedak hanashim, at the time when the rules and regulations of the women of the time, okay, was met. Now, how long did that take? So talk about a long time to get ready for a simcha, ladies. Shnei masar chodesh, 12 months. And I know what you're thinking, and all you've got to do is put on your suit. Okay? So shnei masar chodesh, 12 months. Ki ken yimalu yimei miru kehen. Because that was how long it took for the days of the ointments to be complete. As I said to you before, it's rather clear. It's very clear that Achashverosh was not interested in, quotation marks, a real woman. He wanted a 6th century Barbie doll that could walk and talk, and
Esther did that?
Okay, well,
you didn't have a choice.
I didn't say yes, I didn't say no. Let's see. Now, what was this all about? Shisha chadashim b'shemen hamor. For 6 full months, a woman would be in and out of myrrh. More is myrrh. It's a fragrant and natural gum resin. I looked it up. Don't think I knew that offhand. Okay?
It's in Shir
HaShirim. It's also, we first encounter it by Yosef and the caravan that takes him down to Egypt. Right. It's got
for medicinal reasons?
Yeah, you can get it now.
But it's for medicinal.
But they use it for a variety of things. They use it for everything. But no offense,
like
you don't need 6 months of it here. and again, I say that with all sni'ut, okay? So the 6 months of this, she's fully surrounded. She's in like a bathtub of this stuff. V'shisha chadashim v'samim. Okay, and she's another 6 months where she's completely perfumed.
Perfume,
okay. And then, right, spices, same perfumes, ubatam ruke hanashim, and with the ointments of the women. Mm-hmm. So remember before when you guys are sitting on the couch, be there, and you're talking about fixing your hair and all that good stuff. So I said, it fits in so beautifully.
Oh, but
it's
been 6 months to discuss it.
You know about it. You planned it.
Okay. So it's right
now,
here.
Let me get to the Kadosh place. Just say
okay.
Like when you said it's a big Megillah. You know?
Right.
Megillah, yeah.
All right. So we go weiter. Yud Gimel. Uvazeh hana'ara ba'a el hamelech. Okay. And just like this, with all of the preparations, the young maiden would come to the king. Et ko asher tomar yinatein la lavo ima. And you know what? Everything she wanted, whatever it was, okay, and it seems to be a no-holds-barred kind of scenario. Whatever she wanted, okay, she was given lavo ima to come with her. She could bring with her mi beit hanashim, from the first place. This was the place of the betulot, okay, of the maidens, okay? If you're hearing things like, it sounds like a handmaiden tale, which is coming up, okay, in a theater near you in the relatively near future, okay, well, it's that sort of thing. So there was a house for maidens, okay? Ad Beit HaMelech, okay? Until they would go from one house where they had not yet discussed philosophy and modern art with the king, and then they would go to the king's house, where in fact that's what took place. Of course, being very, 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 very obtuse for purposeful reasons here. Okay? Now, Yudalit. Ba'erev hi ba'at. She would come to the king at night. Uvavoker hi shava el beit hanashim sheni. And in the morning, she would return to the second house of the women. Now, let's explain what's going on.
Where was she?
Okay.
Think about it.
Exactly.
No, I don't have to.
Here's what happens. She starts in the house of the maidens.
Okay.
The betulot. Okay? She then goes to the king.
To the king. And then
consummates
the
relationship. Now she can't go back to the house of the maidens. She's no longer a maiden.
Right.
What actually has transpired, as my Rebbe would have said, Rav Soloveitchik would have said, that there's a change in status. She goes from being a betula to being a pelegesh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she's a pelegesh. Mm-hmm. Now, a pelegesh had, from her side of the agreement, she had to do anything and everything, in quotation marks, that a normal wife would do. But she had none of the guarantees whatsoever that a wife would receive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, for example, if someone was a pelegesh within a Jewish atmosphere, for example, Yaakov Avinu had two pelegshim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They didn't get a ketubah, and so on and so forth, like a normal Jewish wife. And there is a variety of things that, you know, they don't have the same guarantees that a wife receives. Okay? So the same thing here. Pelegesh was basically the, in quotation marks, the property of the king, but again, not the wife, not. So therefore, that's why she goes to Beit Hanashim Sheni. Okay, now, who's in charge? Elyad Sha'agaz Siris HaMelech. Siris, he was a eunuch.
Uh-huh.
Okay, who else was more capable of being Shomer HaPelagshim? Okay, remember, there were lots of them. And they never really saw the king, okay, unless the king called them. And that's the next thing. Those of you who are working on the sheet and are comfortable in the original Ivrit, this gets a star. Lo tavo od el hamelech ki im chafetz ba hamelech v'nikra v'shem. She would never ever come to the king again unless the king wanted her, okay, and called her by name. Now that sets the stage for the future. For the future, why? Because what does Esther say to Mordechai? I'm going to go to the king. Mm-hmm. He hasn't called me.
Right.
And im avadati, avadati. If I'm lost, I'm lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also explained that since until this point in time, when she says, imavadati, avadati, if I'm lost, I'm lost. So that's really not just talking about her life. But remember, she was, according to Chazal, Mordechai's wife. As Mordechai's wife, all the time that the king demands her attention, okay, it's, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalid, says Esther Karka Olam Hi. It was a consistent rape scenario. So all that time until she voluntarily and volitionally goes to the king, okay, she can still live with Mordechai because she's technically an anusa. She's technically being raped. But once she says she wants to go to the king on her own, it's no longer a case of rape. So she's giving up her marriage, okay, possibly her life, but definitely her marriage, okay, to Mordechai. Okay. So this is very important. Go ahead.
Wouldn't she need a get?
Wouldn't she need a get? From Ahasuerus?
No, from Mordechai. She's married to Mordechai.
Yes.
And now she's having a new husband.
Yes.
Right? So wouldn't she need to go through the proper separation?
Well, if... First of all, simply put, yes. She should, Mordechai should have given her a get.
But not when she was in a rape situation.
No.
But if she goes to Ahasuerus because she wants to invite him to a party, doesn't mean that she's going to have intercourse with him.
Well, the way it's viewed by Chazal is that when she goes to him, she goes to him.
Okay.
It's,
so that's when she gives up her marriage.
Correct. Okay. Now, technically, he would have to give her a get. I know of no source that says, in fact, she did receive a get. In part, I suppose, because she was now going to be with a non-Jewish king. I suppose. Okay. Now, here...
What does that have to do with anything?
Say again?
What does that have to do with anything?
Technically, nothing. But it may be a factor as to why it's not even discussed. That's all I'm suggesting. Okay? But it's true. If there would be a wayward woman, a volitionally wayward woman, then at that point in time, the husband would no longer be able to live with her in a conjugal relationship, and he would have to divorce her. If that's what you're asking, yes, that's the bottom line. Okay? All right. Now, Tetvav. So, Tetvav, you're going to get my dynamite genealogy chart that I made to explain everything. Now, at one point, you may have heard me say that Mordechai was Esther's uncle. This is something that a lot of people know. So, for example, even my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, says that in a couple of the Shirim, and you'll hear other people even who are writing Perushim on this. This is based on a medrash, but it's not based on the text. We're going to see that in a minute. So let's see what it says. Ubahagia, okay, Tor Esther. And when it was Esther's turn, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bat Avichail. So she's the daughter of Avichail. Dod Mordechai. Guys, who's the dod of Mordechai?
Avichail.
Okay. Now, please take a look.
So they're cousins then.
Take a look at the chart. Here we go.
That's awesome. Sweet. He said, yeah.
Here we go. Does everyone see the chart?
Spoiler.
Okay. You don't have the chart.
Yes.
Or do you?
Yeah.
Everyone? Okay. So here we go. So I decided that the only way I could explain this was by using a chart. There are people that I know who can talk to you intelligently, knowledgeably, about second cousins and third cousins twice, once removed. Once or twice removed. I can't do that.
Sounds Persian to me.
I only know one person who can do that. He happens to be my wife's cousin. He happens to be also a computer programmer.
He can, I never gotten that straight.
He can do that. I can't get it straight.
Me neither.
There's no way. Okay? Mm-hmm. But this chart makes all this much easier. Okay? So let's do the English. Let's do the sentence part first. So it says, in the Hebrew it says, Avichayel Hayad Dod on my chart. So Avichayel Hayad Dod Mordechai. Avichayel was the uncle of Mordechai. V'ha'aba Shel Esther. And the father of Esther. With that, now let's look at the chart. So you'll notice how I did it. Avichayel as Abba, Esther as Bat. Everyone good on that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very clear.
Clear.
Okay. Now, if you go still on the top, okay, we can all thank, of course, all thank Aristotle, because Aristotle is the author of taxonomy. He created taxonomy. And even if you've been to, like, educational courses and you've heard the word Bloom's taxonomy for education, taxonomy goes back to Aristotle. So he's the one who charted out first to show you relationships. He did it in the animal kingdom. So we can still use the same technique. So Avichayel is the brother, almost got it wrong even there, the brother of who?
Yair.
That's exactly who he was. Now, how do we know who that? Because we do have very strong midrashic sources. Because it isn't in the Megillah. We have very strong midrashic sources saying that. So if Avichayel is the brother of Yair, okay, and or we already know he's Dod Mordechai, so then we see the relationship here. Yair is the Abba. Mordechai is the Ben. So 100% Avichayel is the uncle of Mordechai. Well, if Avichayel is the father of Esther and the uncle of Mordechai,
B'nei
Dodim. Okay? They're first cousins. Now, I'm not saying that I'm recommending such a shidduch for the reasons that we know about. Okay? But that's clearly what took place. Got it? Did that go pretty smoothly?
But isn't that what happened many times throughout Jewish history, just to keep lineage and just to keep...
Yes.
You know, like, I know in some kehillas, it's very intense. Like, when I go to Great Neck, I'm shocked by how many people are related to the other person.
Well, because you're...
My cousins.
The Iranians.
They're Iranians.
Oh, yeah, the Syrians are the same way.
The Syrians are the same way.
And European.
Right.
Some European.
And many Europeans.
And many Europeans also.
Yeah.
Dynasties
right.
have been known to do that.
But we all know that there are genetic issues.
Oh, yes, I know.
Strong genetic issues.
That's why they suggested they start marrying some Ashki girls.
Right.
Ashki. Like my daughter.
Okay. Well, some of my best friends are Ashkenazi.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Me too.
All right. So let's continue. So now you ready? Asher lakach lo labat. So what did we say last week about lo labat?
So was he much older than her?
That I don't know.
Because the thing of the daughter.
Well, he raised her.
You can't expect, you know, an 18-year-old to take in a 16-year-old to raise her as a daughter.
No, he raised her. We have that going back to, I think it was Beit Zion, who goes all the way back there, right? So he must have been older, and that was not unusual mm-hmm. in society. In fact, even in the societies we just talked about, mm-hmm. Iranians, mm-hmm. Bukharians, Syrians, okay, not at all unusual for a much older husband,
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, who's already made his wealth, and then he has his choice, more or less. Okay, so at any rate. She was not only his niece, but he marries her. Because remember, Labat, mm-hmm. Chazal, as we saw last week, really becomes Labayit. Labayit, right? Ishtoke Beita. A woman is like her husband's house. It doesn't mean that she's got a Weight Watchers issue. It means that she really is everything to him.
Right.
Symbolized, I would suggest, by going around him in the chuppah. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the chuppah that's the first house in which they live, but it's represented that she is the house, okay, for all time. Okay? That's one of the things I like to suggest about what's going on there with the seven times around. So rather than looking at it as, you know, something denigrating the woman, it's the exact opposite. it really is a very big positive. So Asher lekach lo lamad lavo al melech. Now she comes to the king. Now, someone asked earlier, did Esther do all this stuff? Well, it's not entirely clear, but look what she says. She doesn't want anything. Lo biksha davar. She didn't want a thing. Ki'im et asher yomar hegai sirisa melech shomer hanashim. All she took with her was the bare minimum. Okay? And that was it. So whatever she could get away with as being the least amount, okay, that's what she did. She did, you know, she didn't, she wanted to present herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, was she hoping she wouldn't get picked? Because you have all these beautiful women around.
Right.
And if you really don't want to be picked, you're not going to make yourself attractive. You're going to stay homely.
But you didn't need to because you're so beautiful.
Well, she had a problem. She was
on a mission.
Far from homely.
True.
She was beautiful. Okay, when we lived in Brooklyn, we had a neighbor who described another neighbor this way. Oh, I won't mention the name for obvious reasons. Oh, so-and-so, she could wear a barrel.
And
she would look better than me all for pitst. Quote, unquote. Okay, now, I want you to know, like a good husband, I can neither deny nor agree with that statement. Okay, that was what she said. Okay? So, Esther was apparently this kind of beautiful. She just had natural beauty. Okay, it's not like, what do they say?
Even with the green complexion.
Well, slightly
olive,
green.
Olive.
Right. Okay, so at any rate, v'tilakach Esther el Hamelech, and Esther was taken to the king Achashverosh, where el Beit Malchuto, to his palace, b'chodesh Asiri, in the 10th month, hu chodesh Tevet. Right now, why is that important? Even in the Middle East, this is an interesting one. Even in the Middle East, Tevet is cold. Mm-hmm. Chazal say, I wouldn't say this on my own, because you would say it sounds almost on the edge of risque. But Chazal say, specifically, Hashem worked this whole thing out behind the scenes, that she would come during the cold month, so that the very fact that she was with him, let us say, warmed his heart in the cold winter night. Okay? And
so
it had...
She could go in and get the rest of the plan done.
Exactly.
I thought she should be...
Because, right? Because what do we read? Revach v'hatzalah.
Thank you.
Right? Salvation from some other place. But it's already started.
Mm-hmm.
It's already started. So, Bishnat Sheva L'Malchuto is the 7th year of his being king. Okay? All right, I'm not going to give the literal expression used in the Gemara, but I think I said it well. Okay, at any rate.
How did he decide who to pick when? Like, was it, like, take a number, like, online? You know, they call the next... Like, how did he decide who to pick when?
Like the baker.
I would probably say it was... something along the this is getting really hard for
first
me.
First come, first serve.
You don't know, David. You didn't live then.
First come, first serve.
Okay. Watch The Bachelor.
Okay?
Okay.
That's kind of what it was like. All right. At any rate. Okay. It's described in this way.
Would you like a cold drink?
V'yahav HaMelech. Okay. Et Esther Mikol HaNashim. And the king loved Esther from... more so than any of the other women. Okay? Now, it's interesting. Notice here it says, Mikol HaNashim. Just skip 4 words later. Then what's the expression? It's not Mikol HaNashim. What's the expression? Mikol HaBetulot. So, I don't understand what's going on. That's because the Gemara says, when he was in the mood for a young
maiden.
Young, innocent maiden. He had a young, innocent maiden. when he wanted someone else's wife, he had someone else's wife. It reminds me with what happened in Iran, right, under the Shah, according to a lot of the stories.
The good Shah or the bad Shah?
The bad Shah. Okay. And basically women would be taken off the streets and so forth. Okay. Mother's daughter, it didn't matter what their relationship was. That's kind of what it reminds me of here. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Mm-hmm. It says whoever and whatever status they had, he wanted, he took. Now, v'ye'ahav does not mean because he found his soulmate. Okay? Obviously, love in his case is a misnomer. Mm-hmm. He just desired her more than anyone else. Simple. Okay, v'tisa chen v'chesed lifanav mikol habetulot. Okay, please turn his hand off. Okay, and she found chen. She was viewed in favor, v'chesed and kindness before him mikol habetulot, more so than all the other maidens, and one would assume, of course, all the other women. Okay. Now, here's where it gets really interesting from a parshanut perspective. Parshanut means exegetical analysis. Okay, we're trying to understand. Because now it says, V'yasem keter malchut urosha. He placed the king, the crown of kingship on her head. In this case, not kingship, but
queenship.
Those of you who saw the Netflix series, you know, what was it called? The Crown. So you saw that famous moment, right? Dramatized. Okay. So, V'yasem keter malchut perosha, which means, what is she, everybody?
Queen.
She's queen. Well, now look what it says.
Is it going back to Vashti that it was just the crown?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. Just?
No. Because, remember, he's on good honeymoon behavior.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, okay, he's a lout. He's a lowlife. He should be cleaning stables. Okay? I agree. But even a lout and a lowlife, at least initially, tries to be a little bit on honeymoon behavior. Okay? So, v'yamli cha tachat vashti. But yet at the same time, v'yamli che ha. And he made her queen, or he crowned her, or he kinged her, you know, he queened her, tachat Vashti, in place of Vashti. So you already know what the question is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even if, you know, let's not lose the thread. The question goes like this. If he put the crown on her head, why then does it say that he made her queen in Vashti's place? You don't need both. It could have said this. And she found favor and mercy before him, more so than all the other young maidens. And he put the crown of queenship on her head. Finished. Or, and Vamicheha tachat Vashti, right? And she became queen in place of Vashti. Why do you have both? So here it's fascinating. Go to the back of your sheet, I think. I have two sheets, but I think it's maybe
no,
the back
it's
of the sheet. Oh, it's two separate sheets? So those of you who have the one that says Makorot Leperek Sheni, does everyone have that?
Yeah, it's the second sheet.
Okay, it's the second sheet?
Yeah.
Okay. So look at the very last one, which is Esther. 17. Esther Rabbah. So this is, when everyone talks about the Medrash to Esther, that's what they're talking about. Okay, so v'yasem keter malchut barosha, and he placed the, it should be a hay after that, rosh, should be rosha with a little hay. So v'yasem keter malchut barosha, v'yamlicheha tachat vashti. Okay, what's going on? So the Medrash is going to deal with my problem. Now, I will say this, Baruch Hashem, I saw the problem before I saw the Medrash. But the Medrash, thank God, answers the question that I had. So here's what happens. Ad shehim lichol et Esther, and be prior to his crowning Esther as queen, hayata ikonin there was the image shel Vashti Kayemet. So all around the palace, guess whose picture was up?
Vashti.
Now, you ready? I'm going to really do something that's fascinating. Everyone look at that word, ikonin, very carefully, and tell me what you think it is in modern English.
Kona.
What?
By?
No. All right, I'll give you a hint. Go to the world of technology.
That's your.
Go.
You can't Google her. So.
Think of your smartphone. What do you have?
Icons.
An app.
Icons.
Oh, statues.
Look at the word.
Images.
E-kol-nin is what language? It's Greek to me.
Greek.
Right? It's Greek. And ikonim is really icons.
The little statues of Vashti.
Pictures. Pictures and statues. All over. Right? And an icon in the Greek Orthodox Church is a statue. It's an image. But according to, I did a little bit of deep diving on it because I found it really interesting. Okay, there were both images hanging on the wall, mm-hmm. and I call images on the wall pictures, and then there were images that were standing up. So until that took place, mm-hmm. the icons of Vashti were all over the palace. Okay, ready? So that's why you need both, right? Vayasim Keter. Malchut Barosha, but you have to actually go to this formal next process where she begins to rule. Once she begins to rule, you know, basically it was a statement, he'd already beheaded her, Vashti. Now it's off with her head in the sense of remove all the images.
She replaces Vashti.
Correct! Yeah. Got it? Yeah. And look, and what's the Lashon, by the way? Tachat Vashti. She's literally in the place of Vashti. Mm-hmm. You know, meaning, what do you mean in the place of Vashti? Not only is she involved with the king as his wife, also all of her images, statues, okay, are now with Esther. And that's what the Medrash says. Kevan Shinasa et Esther, okay, once he married Esther, Bat Tovim, she was a really good person. Now, here's another Greek word. Bat gunusim. She was elevated to being a daughter of nobility. Gunusim is a Aramaicized version of gnousia, which is the original Greek. No, I don't read it, but I saw it transliterated, and it means nobility. So you have two Greek words here being used, okay? So at that point, what did the king say? Amar, tichot Vashti, remove Vashti, okay? Tesak Esther, and put her statues and pictures, okay, all over the place. Hadahu dechtiv, that's why the text says, v'yamlicha, and she became queen, Tachat, in the place of Vashti. I think that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't know that she came from nobility because she didn't tell him where she was from.
Now she's elevated to nobility. She's the queen.
So she kind of displaced Vashti and took that status of being like a...
big on-ramp. Now, just like Ahasuerus himself wasn't nobility, but you kill the right people and you pay off the right people, right? You become king. And as, who is it, Mel Brooks once said? It's good to be the king.
King.
All right. Now, on to the news sheet. And we do have a few minutes, we can start. All right, so the news sheet is going to cover Esther Perek Bet 18 through 23. And I don't plan on doing it all tonight. Okay, but we're going to get started. Okay. V'yas HaMelech Mishta Gadol. L'chol sarav ve'avadav. Okay? And the king made a really big feast. Everything is around Mishte Gadol. Right? I don't think there's anything that happens in the whole story that's of import, okay, that doesn't happen over wine. Okay? Everybody's getting plowed everywhere, and they're making their very best decisions. Okay? So, v'yahas melech mishta gadol l'chol sarav v'avadav, all of his chamberlains and all of his princes and all of his servants. Okay? But it doesn't mean his servants. It means those people who paid him fealty. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you've all seen enough of the British period pieces, right? You know what a servant was. If a servant, like, sometimes stood there holding...
A foot,
you know,
servant. There's right. A multitude of them.
But they didn't exactly make it to the table.
So these are like the people at court.
Yes, courtiers, as they say, and all that. And not only that, Eit Mishta Esther. And this was really the feast of Esther. Okay? So, big celebration. Now, Vahanacha l'lemedinot asa. Okay? And basically, we're going to see in a minute in Rashi on the source sheet, which I think in this case is probably the back. Or maybe it's a separate sheet. It looks like this. Did I give this to everybody?
It's on the same page.
It's on the same page.
Oh, on the same page on yours. Okay. Because mine was a WIP. It was a work in progress. I couldn't remember exactly how I did yours. Okay. So Rashi says it's basically tax relief. Okay. Maidenbaum and whoever you use for your real estate, tax relief. This was tax relief by the king. Okay. He did a really nice thing. Vayitain. Let's get this right. V'yitain mas eit, and he gave gifts, kiyada melech, as, you know, kingly gifts. So the real question, of course, is why? Why did he suddenly become Mr. Nice Guy?
I guess she had a good effect on him.
Or he wanted
a good effect on her.
There you go. Told you, it's honeymoon time. So he wants her to what? Be impressed. Oh, you're just not a murderous lout. You do nice things for people.
Well, you have nice things.
Okay. Now, you ready? Look at the source sheet where it says Rashi Esther Perek Bet. So Rashi explains. V'hanacha l'medinot asa. And he says, l'kvoda, for her honor, inner honor. Now, by the way, this would not hurt the way people would have a perception of her, right? If suddenly your taxes were greatly reduced, and this is in honor of the queen, wouldn't you like the queen?
Yeah.
She's great. Love her. Okay? So, l'kvoda hanich lehem min amas shalehem. Removed part of the taxes. Okay? V'yitain, right? V'yitain mas eit. And he gave presents. Okay, shalach doronot. He sent out presents, lehem, to everybody. I mean, he's really, you know, he's trying to get the Good Guy of the Year award. Don't think of me as a dictator that murders people. I'm really very nice. V'akol, you ready? Here it is. V'akol k'day liftota. And all of that. Now, liftota, I'd be very straight with you, it means to seduce. It was all to seduce her into... Perhaps, ulai, tagid molarata. He obviously, at various moments, had said to her, so tell me about your mom, your dad, you know, where you're from, right, you know, what seminary did you go to?
He's trying to soften her up.
Soften her up. Right, all the important questions.
Mm-hmm. So when he asked these questions, she didn't answer. Wouldn't that be, you're supposed to answer the king when he talks to you?
Right. So I suspect that she, exactly, she gave him one of those. I mean, again, this is not written anywhere. This is not 20th, 21st century strong women who wear baseball hats type stuff. This is more or less along the lines of, you know, acting angelic and... the 40s, the 50s, the 30s, okay, kind of thing. All right? Certainly be, you know, before the wartime factories and all that kind of stuff. Okay? It's a different world. Okay? But I'm always reminded of my big fat Greek wedding, that line where he goes, I'm the head of the household. Right, and then she whispers to her daughter, yeah, but I'm the neck. Okay, let's see how the head stays there. Okay, but at any rate, you know, that's how he presented. So, but nonetheless, Afal Pikein did, nonetheless, did she reveal? No. Why didn't she reveal?
She's saving that.
Because Mordechai told her not to. All right, now, that's the first pasuk. Let's continue. Ubi hika beitz betulot shenit. So when the second group came by, okay, when everybody else got gathered, so it doesn't mean, by the way, that she was not the queen. He was no longer looking for a queen. He had the queen. But obviously he kind of felt, you know, it's pashnisht. All these girls came from 127 countries. You know, you don't want to just have them come for nothing. Right? Right? So he gathered them all together a second time, and Mordechai Yoshev Bashar HaMelech, and Mordechai was sitting at the gate of the king. Why was he sitting there? He wasn't there to check out the next group of girls. What was he sitting there for?
Watching out for his Esther.
For Esther. Exactly. Now, here we go. Chaf, I would say, is telling you the old-style relationship that obtained between Mordechai and Esther that becomes radically changed. Right? Ein Esther Magedet Moladeta Ve'etama. Esther did not tell Ahasuerus of her lineage or of her people. Now, if you're looking to underline something or to circle something, Ka'asher Tziva Aleha Mordechai. Mordechai is still the tactician, the strategist. He's calling the shots. Because at this point, he thinks he knows better. And she listens to him. And that's what it says. The et ma'amar Mordechai Esther, okay, osa, and the word of Mordechai, Esther did. She, after all, was a wife 6 centuries before the year zero, so she listened to her husband. Okay? Ka'asher hayata, just the way it had been, ba'amna ito, when she was raised by him. Okay? So far, so good, guys?
Yes.
Next. Now, these two words, bayamim ha'em, I, on your source sheet, wrote not only bayamim ha'em, when it says Mordechai Yoshev Bashar HaMelech, in those days when Mordechai was sitting in the gate of the king, okay, you'll notice I also put down vayhi bayamim ha'em v'yigdal Moshe. Now, you'll notice it's almost the same language. Bayamim ahem, bayamim ahem. In this case, in this case, what do we have?
Oh, right here.
We have an announcement in both instances of a dramatic change that it's about to ensue. Okay? In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes out and he sees a Mitzri strike a Jewish person, and you know what he does? He kills the Mitzri, okay? And then later on, he gets involved with Datan and Aviram, who are about to beat each other to smithereens, you know, and so on and so forth. And then Datan and Aviram say to Moshe, no, you're so first you kill a Mitzri, now you're telling us what to do? And that's when Moshe runs away, and the rest of Jewish history takes place. The burning bush, and, you know, on and on and on and on and on. But the key is, Vayehi Bayamim Ahim. And also it says, Bayamim Ahim, which, again, is indicating that something dramatic is about to unfold. Okay? So, Bayamim Ahim, Mordechai Yoshev Bashar HaMelech, in those days when the Mordechai was sitting in the gate of the king, Katsaf, Bigtam, Vateresh. So Bigtan and Teresh, who were Shnei Sirise HaMelech, Mishomer HaSaf, they were two, in this case, Sirise does not mean eunuchs, but it means courtiers. They were two courtiers of the king who were the guardians of the threshold. So if you wanted to look at guardians, well, that's what you would have thought, except no. They were really more like the not-so-secret service. That's who they were. They were the Secret Service. So they had weapons, they had access to the weapons, and so on and so forth. So they got angry. And whom were they angry with? The king? V'yavakshu lishloach yad b'melech Achashverosh. And they desired to kill the king. Okay? Now, we're going to see in a moment how. Why? Well, let's do it right.
Maybe they had girls waiting and they weren't picked,
so
they got
angry.
Yeah,
but
they
just got their taxes and they got gifts and the king was giving everything to everybody, so why would you be angry?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's remember one thing. Achashverosh, we could call him a lot of different things. But one of the things we can certainly call him with pure objectivity is that he was a usurper. He was a usurper. Did not belong as king. But he was. Okay? Now, he also apparently was very difficult. Let's take a look. It's going to be on the words of Yivada HaDavar LeMordechai. And the thing became known to Mordechai. Let's go to the Makorot for a moment. This is really a fascinating Gemara on several levels. This will be the last thing we do tonight, except for whatever questions you may have. So this is, again, from Talmud Bavli, Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Bet. V'yivada HaDavar LeMordechai V'gomer. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Right? One of the greatest leaders of the Jewish people. Bigtan v'teresh shnei tar si'im havu. They were both from Tarsus. Okay? Tarsus. Anybody else? Who's the most famous person from Tarsus? He became known as a saint within the Christian world.
Peter?
Paul. Right?
Close.
Close, very close. Okay, now I know that you all know, just like I did, and I had to look it up. But of course, you probably all know already. But where is Tarsus? It's Turkey. It's in the Mediterranean. So it's a seaport. So those of you who have a little sense of the map of Turkey, there's a sort of like a little bit like that, and slightly inland, but really on the seaport of Turkey on the Mediterranean, that's where Tarsus is. So they were Tarsiim. Now you have to remember, in those days, there were a gazillion languages spoken. I forget what it is, but there's nearly as many languages that become extinct every year as, unfortunately, animal species. It's terrible. I mean, for example, the reason I know about this, because it's Aramaic. The last Aramaic-speaking village in Iran stopped speaking Aramaic. Cool. They were now that's interesting because
they speak
Farsi.
Farsi,
right?
French.
We Jews spoke Aramaic for how many years? 2,000 years. Ever wonder why Kaddish is in Aramaic? Remember, we had that whole discussion. That's why. Because that's what everybody spoke.
So it was a vernacular then.
It was vernacular. So these people spoke Tarsiim. V'hayu misaprim b'lashon Torsi. And they spoke Torsi. Okay? Now, why would they speak Torsi? Because they figured nobody else could understand them. V'omrim. And they said, Miyom. Now, so someone said, why were they so unhappy with him? Because they suddenly had to work very hard. Miyom shebatazu lorinu shena ve'enenu. From the time when this guy came, we haven't had any sleep. Okay? He's keeping us busy all the time.
The parties, huh?
Okay? You know, basically, it was an they felt that they were suddenly working very hard. Before, apparently, it was easy, but now it's very difficult. So then they said, Bo, let's go, Vinatil, Eres, and take some poison. and put it besafsal into the bench where the king usually sits. Kedei sheyamut, so that he'll die. This must have been some kind of contact poison that was of particularly powerful strength. Okay? I don't know enough chemistry to tell you what that could possibly be. But apparently, I mean, if Lucretia Borgia could do it a few centuries later, I guess other people could do it too. Vehein lo hayu, well, actually many centuries later, but at any rate, Vehein lo hayu yodim, but what did they not know? Who's sitting there in the... Right? Vehein lo yodim ki Mordechai miyoshve lishkat agazit haya. They didn't know that Mordechai belonged to the Sanhedrin. If you belong to the Sanhedrin, how many languages did you have to speak? 70. Oh. And one of the 70 that he spoke was Torsi. Uh-huh. And it says right here, Lashon. He knew these 70 languages. So that's why it says, if you go back to the Pasuk, and the matter became known to Mordechai. Okay? And I'm just going to leave you hanging just a little bit, because hopefully you're going to want to hear more of the story. And next week we're going to do that, and we're also going to go to my all-time favorite Mefaresh. We're going to go to the Malbim, who has an amazing insight into what's going on. So that's going to happen next week in a shir near you. So thank you all for coming.
Thank you.